Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Forgotten is a new podcast about hundreds of young women who have disappeared and turned up dead in Juarez, Mexico, right across the border from El Paso, Texas. It's a story about borders, migration, and corruption. We talk to victims' families, FBI agents, and a former US ambassador to understand why these crimes have remained unsolved. Listen to Forgotten Women of Juarez on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open your hearts and loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
I am Naomi.
We are a real-life couple. We are a real-life couple of comedians. And on Couples Therapy, we bring you the best sets from our live show, where we have comics who are close do sets together about their relationship. And also, we do some stuff in studio. It's a blast.
It's a joyride, all right? You never know what you're going to get, except we do tell you up top. Do you see what I'm saying? You guys.
So you do know what you're going to get. And if you read the description of the show... You
well, then
exactly
you're very
you're
much
get.
Aware of what you're going to get. But
if you look at the pictures on the tweets and the Instagram, you exactly know what you're going to get. It's unlike a box of chocolates in that way. Hey, Naomi.
Hi,
my love.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling morally and spiritually fulfilled. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you why?
Tell
I'm
me why. That.
I'm feeling it deep down
tell
in my
why.
Ethical center in my below my sternum, underneath my heart.
Tell it.
I saved a bird's life.
Yeah, I know. I was there.
We saved a bird's life.
But Andy did do most of the work. Okay, let me break it down. We were leaving a friend's house, and as we were walking, I noticed, this is in Harlem, in New York, and I noticed, like, a bird on the ground. And it's, like, up against the building. And I kind of was like, Andy, look at that bird. And then because Andy... is like such a kind, sweet soul. There is a touch of caucasity to it as well. But because he is a kind, sweet soul, and he was like, oh my God, we have to help.
Shade.
We have to help him. And because I got, and I was like, okay. And then because the thing is, I was like on board because I watched too many dodo videos, which is like all about people helping animals. So Andy was like, I'm going to go to that bodega and get a box.
You did say, well, we looked up how to save a bird and said you put it in a box. But I you were like, should we film this for the dodo?
Well, I literally was like, what I don't get, having now been in an animal savior situation, I now need to know who the person is who's filming this at every point. Because when you're in the middle of this do or die, Googling how to save a bird, running to a bodega, explaining to them you're not a crackhead, who has the time and the energy and the dexterity to be filming this shit?
Yes.
Who's doing that when you in the trenches?
I will say this. This was a real ass animal savior situation.
It was real ass. I mean...
when I went to the bodega, the guy, when I asked for it, it was one of those situations where there's just a pause in the conversation. And then as the person you're talking to is like processing, I'm just like, is he putting me on? He's... what? And then, like, there was a pregnant pause, and then he gets me a box, and we put the look. This wasn't no shit bird, all right. This wasn't
a shit bird.
I don't know. This wasn't like a mangy rooster or something. This was a starling. All right.
Oh, a starling. Of course, Andy did not know it was a starling until we took him to be saved.
I knew it was a special bird, though.
Well, yes, it
you
looked
can see,
special.
Has, you know, starlings got those, like, iridescent feathers.
Well, yeah, and you obviously knew something was wrong because, like, obviously any bird you approach would normally fly away. And so we were literally standing over this bird trying to figure out what to do, and it would, like, it couldn't really get away, and it would, like, kind of, like, try to slide over to avoid us. And I was like, oh, my God, this bird is hurting. And so literally we're Googling not just how do you save a bird, but then the next question is, where do we take the damn bird? We up in Harlem. Where do you take a bird when you in Harlem?
Yeah, I'm not taking it back to our place so that the cats can just eat it.
I'm just like, or for it to just sit in a box. I'm like, this bird needs something we can't provide. So we're literally Googling.
SNL, get on that. Bird in a box? Come on. Anna, Bowen, what are you doing? Write this up.
So we literally are standing there Googling. And then we're trying to get the bird in the box without hurting it, but also without touching it, because it would not have liked that.
Also, I'm not going to touch a bird. You're going to touch a bird? You, of all people, Naomi, you're just going to touch a wild bird with all the bird diseases going around?
No!
We could be patient zero for whatever the next crazy pandemic flu is.
Just you mean from, bird flu?
Yeah, just from stroking a starling.
Stroking a starling.
Look, long story short, Naomi goes off to hang out with our friend.
No, but let me explain.
I take the bird to the Wild Bird Fund in the Upper West Side.
But I'm going to tell you, okay, I already had plans. I had somewhere to be, okay? And I was already late. And then suddenly I become a person who's like, hey, sorry I'm running late. Had to save a bird we found on 129th. It's like, who am I? And then I was like, Andy, are you good? I helped Andy hail a cab. I opened the door for him as he was holding the bird in a box, and I closed the door, and I said, keep me posted.
And so I get to the Wild Bird Fund, and it's this storefront on the Upper East Side, Upper West. And you go in, and when I went in, the first thing I saw was a bunch of geese and ducks just walking around feeding from these big circular troughs.
I'm like very into this farm moment on the Upper West.
There was, if you walk down this one hallway, there was just a gull sitting there.
This feels,
just chilling out.
This feels so surreal. Sitting gull.
It really was. It felt like a David Lynch kind of moment.
I like wish I had been there. Like when you told, I was like, God, I wish I could have gone, but I really didn't want to cancel on my friend.
And then next to the door, there was a woman. I want to believe it was a rocking chair, but I think it was just a normal chair. And she has, like, I think scrubs on, but I think she's just wearing like one of those plastic raincoat type things, you know, that you can like fold up and put
like a poncho.
Yeah, ish. Mm-hmm. And she has like a paper towel kind of thing under her, and she and gloves on, and I believe she had a thing on, like a hospital thing. I may be making this all up in my head.
Oh, God.
But
well, now I don't want to hear
it. She had some
–
well, no. I just mean, like, in my mind, she had, like, a thing over her hair, like, that you get in a hospital.
Yeah, hairnet. She's covered. Yeah. She's fully covered. She's giving you medical realness.
And she is holding a pigeon, and I smile at her while they're, like, helping the starling because I gave it to one of the vets that was there. And she goes – I'm Reiki healing this pigeon.
Can you believe a grown-ass woman is Reiki healing a pigeon on the Upper West Side of Manhattan? What is happening to us all?
And that's why there's so many empty storefronts in Manhattan. Because it's filled up with people Reiki healing pigeons, and no business can survive there anymore.
I think that's like, I was like, literally like, what? So again, I hear about these gulls just now, but when I heard about Rick and healing the pigeon, I was like, fuck, I need new material. Why wasn't I there for literally the greatest thing I could have ever seen? But you did the Lord's work, and it turns out, right? Didn't they say that, like, even though there's only like a 50% chance, it was very good that you brought that starling in.
Right, because if you leave birds out on the ground, rats are just going to eat them. In New York. So
let that be
a lesson to you. If you see a bird in pain, don't just leave it sitting on the ground. Do something about it, especially in major cities, so that rats don't have a feast.
honestly, New York, city that never sleeps. You don't get to rest, okay? You can't take a load off.
The city that never sleeps. So prevent the rats from having a feast.
Oh, wow. Maybe you are a rapper. Speaking of two dope, cool, flavorful dudes, what? I'm going to keep going. This first set we want to bring to you is from Ronnie Chang and Roy Wood Jr. And we are so excited. They are comics, they are actors, and they are both correspondents on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah. You've also seen Ronnie in Crazy Rich Asians, and Roy's latest special, No One Loves You, drops this Friday, January 25th, on Comedy Central. So you know, consider this an amuse-bouche.
Roll it!
Yeah.
Hey everybody. We've never been on the same stage at the same time.
No, we haven't.
It's always one after the other.
Yeah.
Also, I love how they said it's Ronnie Chang and Roy Wood Jr. So it's nice to be wanted.
Why are you dressed for a Daily Show segment?
What? What do you mean?
Like, this is my Sunday shit.
Yeah,
man.
Why you dress like you're...
Because I never get to dress like this otherwise. I have to wear a fucking suit every day at the job.
Yeah,
so
well...
So I fucking get to look intimidating.
In America, I represent more than myself here. I got to always dress up all the time. Most people think Asian people look sloppy.
What's that like, bro? Like that pressure of like representing...
Yeah.
For minority culture against the stereotype. You know what? I've never experienced that at all.
Hey, listen, man. The black stereotypes are very well established, okay? People don't know what the fuck we do.
That's true. Y'all are new.
I start hanging out at a bus stop, you know, eating crackers, and suddenly that becomes an Asian thing. Right? Everything
I
do is...
Have you experienced since your appearance in the movie Crazy Rich Asians, 100 million at the box office.
200. 200, 200 million. But who's counting? 200. It was 200.
We don't care about 20. Overseas shit. 100 billion.
It's 200 domestics.
Office. Domestic box office is 200. But who
since that movie, have you felt a different energy as an Asian? Not just as an actor and being on TV, but do you feel like people are nicer a little bit? Do people come up and give you the crazy rich jokes and goofy shit like that?
No, I'm definitely feeling the energy of being rich and famous. Yeah, that's definitely changed a bit. No, I think people have been very nice about it. I feel like also people don't know if I'm in the movie and they don't want to be racist, so they don't... So they're scared because I get a lot of this look on the street, like, like unsure, and yeah, and then they go like, "Are you?" I'm like, "No, I'm not." And then
fucked up. Don't do that to white people.
They're
going out on a limb to speak to you, and then you fucking make them feel.
There's been two times when people will say, "Hey, man, just want to say I loved you in the movie," and I'm like, "Oh, which movie? Crazy Rich Asians." I'm like, "Oh." Thank you so much, but I actually wasn't in that movie. But thanks so much, yeah.
And then if you do that, but you were. All the white people, that is a very safe move that you could do now. Just tell minorities you love them in the movie.
Yeah.
And just never name the movie.
Just say you love the movie. Don't even say you love them in it. Just say I love that movie. Yeah.
You know what's crazy? I haven't. You're probably. I can say this confidently as a 40-year-old man, I'm pretty sure you're my first Asian friend.
That's awful.
Like, I mean, it's not like I was kicking Asians out of my life or anything. I'm just saying, as the social circumstances presented themselves, I mean, you know,
that's
my homeboy Steve Byrne.
That's not only a terrible truth, that's a terrible thing to admit.
But you have to remember where I'm from. I'm from Alabama. We didn't get Asians till like 03, 04. And I left for L.A. in 07, so I wasn't there long enough to make friends.
Okay. Wait, but you were in L.A. since 07.
Okay. And so then you just work. You don't have time to
make
friends.
No. You're disguising how worthy.
I didn't say I used to be a racist and I'm a reformer. I'm just saying.
No, I don't think you're racist. I think you want very welcoming in your heart to.
Exactly. So circumstances finally presented themselves where I would be around a person of a different culture on a regular basis, and it's fucking awesome. That's what I was trying to say this whole goddamn time.
Okay. Thank you, I guess. I don't know.
I didn't say, you know what, man? I used to fucking hate Asians. But then I met Ronnie.
You didn't say that, but you kind of did.
I just said you were my first. I didn't say I didn't want.
Okay, well, fine. Anyway, yeah. Okay, you're also my first black friend. How about that? Oh, what?
See? It's warm.
I love how everyone was so angry at that when he says I'm his first Asian friend. Everyone's laughing their asses off. I'm not even from America. There's no African Americans outside America.
No. Don't use where you're from and the racial influences there as a reason.
What the fuck are you talking about? I have more of an excuse of not knowing black people than you do of not knowing
Asian
people.
Have you been to Alabama in the 90s? Do you know how few Asians there were in the 90s in Alabama?
I only moved to America 3 years ago. People were shocked. Like, did they not know that? They think I've lived in New York my whole life, and I've only ever had a black friend.
But you have to grade that on the curve, though, because you went to college in America before you officially
moved here. I didn't go to college
here.
In America. What are you talking about?
Where the fuck were you up in Massachusetts for?
I thought I was your one Asian friend. You don't know anything about me?
You didn't go... You said you were a kid. You were here for...
Yeah,
you were here. You got a sneak preview of America before you fucking moved here.
I know, Asians don't go to college when they're 4 years old, okay? Well, I was 4 years old. I didn't go...
How old were you when you got your American sneak preview before you officially
I was like
moved?
3 to 7.
See, that's enough.
But it was in... But it was in
preschool, you didn't have any black friends? There were no black children?
Are there black people in Manchester, New Hampshire?
Okay, None. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
There was no one. It was just me and some other people.
You know when I knew you were going to be cool? Because when you started The Daily Show, it's already a stressful-ass job that you're not trying to fuck up. But then they give me and Ronnie an office together. We're the only correspondents in the building that share an office. And it's in the far corner. It's the furthest away from everything. And there's a couch. And the way the office was configured when we first came in, when you open the door, you can see in our office clear from the other side of the building. Literally the most important office in the building is this glass room. And you can literally look down the hall and see straight into our office, like 60-yard shot. Me and Ronnie both agreed. The first day in the office, we go, yo, man, we got to nap on this couch. We got to move this couch to this wall so no one can see us napping in this office if we decide to nap. And that's when I was like, all right, he's going to be a cool motherfucker. He's right. Pro-nap.
I knew you were going to be cool when I said, hey, Roy, do you mind if I just take a quick nap on this couch? I'm just really jet-lagged. And you said, man, I don't give a fuck if you fuck in this room, man. Just let me know before you do it. That's all I don't care about.
I had a lot of roommates in college. I did a lot of weird stuff.
And I also, that was my impersonation of you, by the way. I hope that was okay.
Yeah, that was fair. That was spot on. Okay, that's about what I would say.
I tried to say my man with an E.
Oh, man.
Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's also convenient because Ronnie can just literally just fucking roll his office chair over to me and get black Twitter translations.
Dude. So much.
Like when black people say, man, what's up, man, versus man, M-A-N-E.
On Twitter, by the way. So yeah. It takes more letters to say man on Twitter than it does man. So there's
but
something
the
up
intention.
With that. Yeah.
It's the emotion. You have to understand. That
yeah, so what
to,
is it?
The emotion has to come through. Like, what's up, man, versus what's up, man? Yeah. Like, it's a different
right.
energy. That extra E adds a step, closes a distance, I'll beat your ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Over here is man, but it's like, what's up, man?
Yeah. See, this
versus,
is stuff.
What's up, man?
Yeah.
See, it's a different energy.
I know, I can feel it when you do it. On Twitter, it's hard to read. When someone says, you know, fuck you, man. You. yeah, that.
No, that is the
which
wrong
I get a lot on Twitter. And I'm like, what does this mean? I don't know. Sorry, sir. I don't understand what you're saying. Can you please?
I've also enjoyed watching Ronnie's. Like, because I'm not a New Yorker, I consider and act like I'm a native New Yorker, but it's interesting to see someone not from America become more comfortable with the sounds of the city. Because our office is also on the street side of the building, and so there's...
Wait, don't tell them that, they're fucking...
It's
gonna
Google, motherfucker, they ain't know
yeah, they're gonna
what
drone
this
in,
is.
And they're gonna throw rocks and stuff, don't tell people. It's going on the internet. It's podcast. Don't
so yeah, so
it's a security. It's yeah, a security issue.
Yeah, delete that out. Yeah, delete that.
You are the most paranoid guy I know. By the way, you're the guy who fucking wanted when you was
yeah,
having a baby. He looked up baby trackers to track his location.
Yeah, in case my kid gets kidnapped, it's called a Trackmo, and the battery lasts 3 days, and it's a wonderful. I should do an advertisement for him on this podcast.
Tiles.
Great little bit. Yeah, tiles are good, but they rely on other people's Bluetooth to connect to communicate.
Yeah,
so you
he
can't
knows
use...
He's trying to figure out how to track his baby.
Trackmo is straight, like in 4G antenna. You don't need strangers. We can talk after the show.
I'm sorry.
I am. I'm legit. That's a true statement. Ronnie is on the head about that.
I'm
very much
paranoid,
a head on the swivel kind of guy. Because John Oliver used to get fucking death threats.
Right.
So, yeah, when John Oliver was working at The Daily Show, he used to fucking get death threats. But now, thankfully, there's like 10 political shows, so the crazies are spread evenly
it's diluted.
Throughout.
Yeah.
The stalkers are diluted between 10 shows. Yeah, now, so we got, yeah.
Truthfully. So yeah. You can be a little more at ease, but no, I don't fucking play that shit.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. You're saying how awesome I am.
My point is, it's been interesting because the first year at the office, you can hear every, like once a month, you can hear a crackhead arguing with a wino. And it used to concern Ronnie. Like, it used to be like, what do you want, motherfucker? Yeah. And Ronnie would, like, stop typing and go to the window. I'm like, don't you go to that window? And now we're, like, 3 years in. And it's just, motherfucker, what do you want to do? And Ronnie's just like, whatever. They just, nothing's going to happen. You're very comfortable in the States,
yeah,
man.
It's thanks cool. so much. Yeah, it's a lot thanks to you. You were a very good guide to America. I moved here from basically from scratch. And a lot of stuff I had to ask you about. You introduced me to the comedy landscape in America, was cool. You always introduced me to black people in America, which was nice.
Baseball.
Yep. And you're very. That's the thing. You're a very worldly person. You keep, you know, you're self-deprecating with the South. You're from the South, Alabama, and all that. But you're actually a very worldly person by American standards, which.
Okay. Which thank you. I guess. I don't know.
And by that I mean you eat Waffle House only every other week is.
Yeah, I took you to your first Waffle House.
Yeah, you took me to my first Waffle House, which was horrific.
I know you'll never do it again, but you had to experience
it. I had to, but also I love walking to Waffle House and going, I know this place from World Star. It has its own category of fights. Waffle House fights on World Star. I was like, man, I've been watching this place for like a year now. I'm finally in here. All right, when's the fight going to start?
It was so embarrassing.
Can I start a fight here? Throw the grits on the ground.
Where'd you take me to eat? Where did you take me on the Lower East
Dude,
Side?
Dude, I took you to eat. I always bring you to the best fucking place. I took this guy because my wife is Vietnamese, and we love eating Vietnamese food. And this guy comes into the office one day, confidently, 39 years old. He comes in, he goes, you know what, Ronnie? I'm 39 now. Eating his Dunkin' Donuts, and he's like, yeah, you know what? I've had all the food. I've had all of it. There's nothing left to eat. I've eaten it all. And I'm like, I am very sure you have not eaten, like, have you? And then he's like, what do you mean? I've had pizzas, I've had fucking Subway, I've had Denny's. You know, he's a road dog. He's one of the OG road dog comics. He's been to every state. He's eaten every fucking, you know, franchise.
Yeah, I just,
think
no
of.
New food.
Yeah,
and
so he goes like, yeah, I think I'm done,
that's
man.
Yeah, if I'm at 39, I don't want to try nothing new. I've had it. I got my rotation. And that's what I was trying to say.
I was like, Roy, have you eaten?
It was so bad.
Have you ever eaten Vietnamese food? And he was like, no, not really. I was like, fuck, you cannot claim to have eaten everything. You haven't eaten anything in Southeast Asia.
Because I haven't done a show in Southeast Asia. If I get booked there, I'd
eat it. New York City, you don't need to go Southeast Asia to eat Southeast Asian food, right? And so I took him to Hanoi House, great restaurant, I love it. And I took him and he ate. And I was like, you know, being really like selective with who I gave him. I didn't give him anything weird. It was all fucking.
He was treating
meats.
Me like a black mama, yeah, like from the South. It's like, I think you like this one, baby. What's in it? I'm breaking shit open. I'm trying to analyze the contents. Just eat it.
And then he ate it, and then I think he liked most of it. Most
fucking
of
him
was like suspicious. He was like eating it suspiciously. He, at the end of it, he told me honestly that he loved it, and he doesn't really lie to me. When the office, we're like the most honest to each other. We talk shit about everything, and so he said I really liked it. And he said the best part about Vietnamese food was after he ate it, he didn't feel like shit. And I was
this
like,
is true.
Yeah, man, you're not supposed to feel like shit after eating any food. It was such a new feeling for him. To eat something and go, I mean, hey, man, this was like, yeah.
But I thought that's what food's supposed to be.
I don't feel like dying afterwards.
You eat it, and then you reflect upon all the mistakes you've made in life.
Yeah.
All right. I think we should
go. Yeah, we should go. You guys have been awesome. Thanks for
thank
listening.
Thank you guys a lot, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys. It's Bobby Bones. I host The Bobby Bones Show. and I'm pretty much always sleepy because I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. A couple hours later, I get all my friends together, and we get into a room, and we do a radio show. We share our lives, we tell our stories, we try to find as much good in the world as we possibly can, and we look through the news of the day that you'll care about. Also, your favorite country artists are always stopping by to hang out and share their lives and music, too. So wake up with a bunch of my friends on Big 104.7 in Pittsburgh or wherever the road takes you on the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, man. Roy and Ronnie are some of my favorites.
Oh, my God.
Oh, welcome back, everyone, by the way. Hello. We're back here, Naomi and Andy.
And we...
Here in the studio. Roy and Ronnie, some of my favorites. They both been on my podcast. I've interviewed them, and they're really, they're not only are they some of the funniest stand-ups, but they're also like really nice people.
Yeah, they're like real. They're real deals, and they're so funny. I can't even handle that. When Roy was like, I'm from Alabama, we didn't get Asian people till 03. I was like, oh my God, you are hilarious.
Oh, by the way, I just wanted to say, Wild Bird Fund is great. I know we were just kind of like goofing off and making some jokes, but they were genuinely a wonderful organization. They really helped.
Yeah. Look, somebody was willing to Reiki heal a bird, okay? That's what I call going to any lengths for all God's creatures. So it was totally, totally dope of you to do it and of them to help. But actually, you know, the bird incident does make me think of something else that I've been thinking about since our trip, because we found the bird as we were leaving a friend's house, a friend of ours with a toddler. And, that was one of many child-related experiences we had in our last visit to New York that really had me thinking, all my friends got children. Everyone's got children. Almost all of them have little boys, which is like, are we still doing that? You know, constantly questioning. But also, it's just so funny because it really made me feel, it's like, I thought I was an adult. And now there's a new thing you have to do to be really adult, which is now make another human. And I'm not doing that.
Nope.
But we also fully agree we don't want to do that.
No.
So it's not that. It's not a question of like, when are we going to have kids? But it's just so interesting to be around everyone with kids now. And it's like, it feels like we're in the in-between. Like, we are fully coupled and homebodies and in our relationship. But at the same time, we don't have kids, which is the ultimate in being tethered. Like, everybody with kids, like, here's my point. I'm like halfway into people with kids because, like, I love coming and sitting at your house. I'm all about getting dinner at 7 p.m. You know what I mean? The things that parents are into. But at the same time, I really wish you and I could have a conversation with this child without this child butting in every 10 seconds. These toddlers, I'm like, you are not as interesting as you think you are.
Look at me. Look at me. We get it. You're playing with your Donkey Kong figurines.
But the thing is, I will say you, more than me, you're much better at playing on kids' level and, like, staying with them. Like, it's not like
I have
like
the
kids.
Mind of a child. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, I am. Exactly. But you're also very patient. But, and it's not, look.
I am
not
patient. I am kind. I am.
I'm not Cruella De Vil. I do
it's
need
the rest
to
of
clarify.
That Corinthians.
I like children. They're very sweet and darling. But there's not much you can do with them, especially when they're not yours. So it's just kind of like, all right, you here. I came to talk to your mama, but you want to butt in and show me some train you got a month ago. I ain't into your train the way you into your train.
It's got tracks.
And it's like, okay, cute. And it's just like hard to sustain that level of energy. I think the thing is, it's weird. It just feels like we were all at a level together. We reached a point like everyone got married, and then it was like everyone's in their relationships. And I'm like, cool, can't we just stop at this level?
Yeah. Can't everyone do what we did? Just sign a contract for a podcast and a pilot?
That legally binds you to someone forever. And so there's really...
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com. Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk,
Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Dear listeners, hello! Andy here again with an ad read. Wait, Andy, not Naomi, is doing this? You might be asking yourself. And I'm going to tell you why, because today I'm talking to you about Storyworth. If your parents, if your family are anything like mine, they are wonderful people. But also they are, maybe, a bit repressed. And not really forthcoming with details about their lives, their feelings. You know, they're just tight-lipped about everything except the weather. Or what's for dinner. And that's why I love Storyworth. Over the course of a year, every week, Storyworth emails your loved ones a thought-provoking question. Things like, what were your next-door neighbors like when you were a child? What would you change about your childhood? Did you have a favorite teacher in middle school? What made them great? Questions that could really allow you to get to know them, and in a manner that might get these folks in your life to actually open up. So they get these questions, they email back their response, you get a copy so that there's something exciting in your inbox besides 300 emails from a restaurant you went to once in 2015, yes, I'm talking about myself mostly, and then after a year, Storyworth compiles all of those stories into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book. I mean, Mother's Day is coming up, and my mom, famously difficult to shop for, but with Storyworth, I can learn something about her besides her favorite food? I mean, crab cakes, I know that, but I really didn't know much else about my mom, which is why Storyworth is ideal. And then, when she gets that hardcover book, like a tailored to her autobiography, oh boy, gotta tell ya, parents love personalized books. It's a fact. So, give all the moms, in quotes, in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/couples. That's storyworth.com/couples to save $10 on your first purchase.
Ain't no way to ever be gone from them, no matter what you do. And that is what I call commitment. That's what I call love. Now we have to have kids. It's just like a new level where I don't feel like...
You're adult.
Not just I'm an adult, but now it's a further thing that disconnects us. You know, like, you, once you have a kid, if you're doing it right, at least for the first few years, I think, you got to put some of your stuff on hold.
So do you feel jealous of these children? That, like, the friends that you were closest to, they now care about this, their procreate?
Are we aliens? The way we talk about, it's like we don't know what a child is or what our parenthood. Like, not understanding.
They care about their child more than their friendship with you?
Oh, God, no. Please, care for the child. It's just more that...
You're mourning that the friendship will no longer be the same.
In part. Yeah, I guess it's like in part the friendship will no longer be the same. But it's also like you and I no longer inhabit the same world. You have a world that is now dictated by a mini tyrant. Cute, darling, has your DNA, I get the attachment. But that is a different world that I live in, where I am dominated by a desire for success, a level of which will probably never come, so I'll always be chasing something and comparing myself to other people. We're not on the same page anymore.
The minute you have something that you have to, you have to take care of its poop is the moment, like, with cats.
No, you have to stop comparing our cats to people's human babies. It's not the same.
But there is a certain, look, it's on a spectrum. Can we at least agree that they may be far apart? The same thing with, like, geriatric parents. The minute you have to take care of another living creature's defecation. Andrew. What?
Keep going. I'm going to see how this all winds up. The moment you have to do that, what?
It separates you from the people that don't have to deal with defecation. This is the line in the sand.
Defecation is a demarcation?
Defecation is a demarcation, Naomi.
Okay. Maybe. On a spectrum.
Here's the thing for me personally. Like, I just don't have a drive to have a procreate. I don't know. There's nothing in me. I feel satisfied by us and the cats.
Thank you so much.
And my parents, when we were
in Reading over the holidays, we had a brunch with some of my parents and some of our family friends.
Yeah.
And they all have grandchildren.
Right.
And they were all talking about their grandchildren. And my parents, I didn't know what were they going
to... They just wanted to know if there was something we were doing in Los Angeles that was comparable to a living, breathing child. And none of it is.
Yeah, it isn't. And they want grandchildren. You know, my parents are never going to be happy that Paul F. Tompkins followed me on Twitter. It's never going to bring them the immeasurable joy that brings me. And they need something else.
Immeasurable joy.
They need a small creature to,
right,
to, you know, rock in their arms.
Well, especially a biracial one. My God. People lose their damn minds over the prospect of Andy and I procreating. Not because we're us, but they're just like, oh my God, your baby's going to be so gorgeous. And it's like, oh my Lord, just going to be taupe. I need you all to relax on this biracial baby situation.
Just going to be a little baked potato.
You know it. That's what I say. Looking like taters when they come out. But it just feels so...
A womb is basically just a McDonald's storeroom.
Nope. Nope. We can't say that. That's not what it is.
That's a great pull quote. What are you talking about?
It is, it's just interesting. It just feels like it's so crazy how people who I know, it's like, I know your mama longer than you. And yet now she is a total stranger to me. That's what I felt seeing some people where I was like, our lives feel very different now in a way that I was also like, can we stop doing new stuff? I think that's what it is.
You just want everyone, you want like there to be some kind of like Ice Nine for everyone that's from Kurt Vonnegut's Catch Cradle that freezes the world. You want it there to just be an Ice Nine that freezes all the relationships at their best moment so that you can just.
The moment of like most security while also most freedom, which is, and so, because I don't know. And then I get anxious for when I'm around other people's, around small children, period. Then I start to get nervous. Like, I'm watching them, and I'm afraid they're going to hit their head, and it's, not even my kid. I just, it brings attention into me, Andy, and I don't know how to reconcile it. That's why I'm not, you would have thought I would have become cool Aunt Naomi, but first of all, everyone keep popping out these kids left and fucking right. I can't afford all your kids. They ain't all getting a birthday present. So that's step one. I can't support y'all.
Hey, look, let me just pitch something.
Great.
That maybe the tension will be resolved if we have a child.
Absolutely not.
So let's test it. what's the worst that could happen?
Like, look, I'm not trying to have a kid. Like, I don't, like, even the idea of wanting to procreate can feel so funky to me because I don't, like, I have terrible vision. I had braces twice. I'm depressed. Must we perpetuate these genes? It would never occur to me. It would never occur to me to mix it up and make another one.
What if we get some of that CRISPR in there to change our chromosomes so that it comes out straight teeth? Sunniest disposition on God's green earth.
Oh my God, your optimism, neither one of our eyesight.
2040 vision. Is that better? Is that better than 2020?
Sounds like it might be.
2080. Let's go. Hey, if we can change the genes as much as we want. Let's do 22,000.
I just get so nervous by it. So I don't know. I just thought about that a lot because we were around a lot of kids. You're good with them, though. Like, sometimes I see you with kids, and I'm like, wow, Andy, you could probably do this.
Good with birds, good with kids. Andy Beckerman, 2020, running for president!
We'll be right back, y'all.
My name is Kimberly Drew. If I've learned anything in my years of studying and uplifting Black artists, is that we all have the power to create something beautiful. That's why I'm pleased to introduce you to people who have broken down boundaries in fencing and helped to create the first ever smart store. They're a big deal, and it's time we give them our attention. Listen to Your Attention, Please, a Hulu podcast with iHeartRadio on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's inspired by Your Attention, Please, now streaming on Hulu. Watch for a fresh point of view on Black history.
And we're back with a wonderful, hilarious LOL set. Don't you think?
I am very excited for this one. Naomi, you were just on their podcast a little while ago.
Yes, I was. A couple weeks ago, I was on Seek Treatment, hosted by our next act, Pat Regan and Catherine Cohen. In addition to their podcast, Catherine hosts the monthly variety show at Club Coming in New York City East Village and co-hosts It's a Guy Thing at Union Hall. And Pat has been named one of Comedy Central's comics to watch. So you know, these are two young gals on the rise.
Roll it!
So what our friendship actually isn't a competition, because actually she is a woman and I'm gay man, mm-hmm. So that kind of is different leagues.
Yeah, our podcast, sort of, if you haven't heard it, which I feel bad for you, it's about boys, sex, fucking, dating, and love, and it sort of answers the question, what would happen if a straight girl and a gay guy were friends?
Because guess what? It's not such a crazy idea. That's at least our thesis anyways.
I feel so like unnatural. Like I was trying to be cool. I'm like, I'm gonna like bring a beer on stage. I never do this. It's also the day. It's the day.
This is atypical. You're not getting a typical kind of moment.
No. Things are really actually insane today. But do you want to do like a cheers and then put it down?
Okay, let's do a cheers and put it down.
Cheers to us.
Okay, cool.
Tastes so good. I love shit like this.
Oh, wait. And this is going to be a podcast, so we have to explain.
What?
To those listening. We were holding cups before.
Yeah. And okay, sort of, cool. Also for those listening at home, I look absolutely gorgeous.
What's so crazy is that me and Kat both are so tired right now, so we came in expecting both to look bad, and then we saw each other, and we were like, you look good.
I know.
It was just like, sometimes in this town,
I know,
when something goes your way for once,
yeah,
it's huge.
It is huge. And as you guys know, my day job is sort of walking around the West Village saying, this town. over and over again until I pass away.
And my day job, conversely, is I am actually so good at comedy that I am a nanny. And so that's definitely working out for me since becoming a nanny. I have lost the following things. Mm-hmm. An adult's razor scooter, the little girl's backpack, the little girl's jacket, a stranger's jacket that looked like the little girl's jacket. And a credit card.
And this is the part where I sort of do a dance.
Yeah, sometimes I talk, Catherine dances. Sometimes Catherine sings, I stay on there.
Yeah, I think words are actually music.
And I... cool, wait, do you want to kind of go off on that?
Yeah, I think that, okay.
I was just kidding.
Oh, shit is trippy.
Okay, cool. Wait, we're going so fast.
I know, wait, I feel actually psycho right now.
Me too, and I have this whole time.
Okay.
Okay, cool. All
right, we haven't seen each other in a while.
Yeah, we haven't seen each other since 3 a.m. last night.
3 a.m. last night. Let me paint a picture. Paint a picture for you.
Okay, yeah. They're
gonna we're living in an absolutely gorgeous party that both of us had a horrible time at. And
I never had fun in my whole entire life.
Why is
once.
The rain on coming in on at the sides these days?
I know.
I grew up in a town where you expect the rain to come down. Up, maybe, sure. But operating on a vertical plane.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You know, I go onto social media, toxic social media, your Instagrams, your Facebooks.
Problematic.
And I look at my, my college classmates, even sad, my high school classmates, and it's like they're living in these small towns, these sad lives, but the rain comes down there. And a part of me thinks maybe it's nice to have kind of a simpler life.
Do you ever talk to someone, you're catching up with someone, and then you feel bad because your life's so amazing that you don't want to, like, tell them what's going on with you?
Every time I talk to anyone from my past, I feel like I'm Hannah in that scene from season one Girls where she's going home and she's looking at herself in the mirror and she's like, you're from New York, you're inherently more interesting than these people. Is that okay? Is it kind of okay to connect with Lena Dunham in these times?
I had, I know.
Am I safe?
I know. I would love if someone was like so mad that we like her. It's like, are you, it's like, there's other stuff.
Get over it.
Can I say?
But also, we won't die on that hill. So if you don't like us over it, like, we'll drop it in a second.
Yeah. Oh. We'll do anything you want. Like, we have absolutely nothing to live for. We live and die by your approval.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even know who's in this room. That's the whole thing.
I know.
It's completely black.
It's completely black.
But do you know that Can I do one thing?
Okay.
Who's going to talk first? I don't want to make you feel bad.
Okay. I love that.
But I had sex.
So Catherine, so this is another important part of our relationship, is Catherine's sex positive, I'm sex negative.
I love the stuff. Can't get enough of it. I'm on my knees lapping the shit up.
And for me...
Not actual shit, am I right? But if you are into that, that's cool. Is it? I don't know. Jury's out.
Okay, cool.
To lunch.
Just like kind of blink twice when you're done. I, on the other hand, believe that sex should be shrouded in guilt and shame. You know, I wasn't raised in a barn. Right.
So that's hard. I haven't hooked up since August. Not really by choice, but...
I know. What are we going to do about you?
I know. We can't figure out why you can't hook up.
Can I say something? I'm also recently single. Thank you so much, Tacita. Don't all hop up here at once. But I think we should just let them know, like, we're both sort of looking. And what I want to say about this is, if you're into either of us, and for the record, I'm straight.
She's straight. I am gay. I'm a gay man. I hope that's okay. Why I act this way.
Yeah. And that's why I'm addicted to it. And if you're into what you're seeing tonight.
Truly. On any level.
On any level.
Even if you're just having, even if you're not that into it, but you're like having a bad day. Yeah.
Feel free to come forward. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not alone.
Yeah, totally. It doesn't make you fucked up to be into us.
Yeah.
Because we always going to say.
Tepid.
Okay. For real, only answer this if you feel safe to do so. Who's gay here? Okay,
actually, so few.
I know, so few, which is actually scary because sometimes we worry that straight people can't access us in our comedy. And and honestly, the way I feel towards it is like, if you are straight and you can access, that's actually really sad. It's like, move home and reconnect with your family at that point.
Something essential has been lost.
Yeah, like whatever happened to family values.
Right. Wait.
What were we going to talk about?
The night.
Okay, so we recently had a night.
But also I wanted to say, my type is anyone who doesn't care if I live or die. And what's your type?
My type is like, definitely kind of someone psycho, but also like, hot.
Remember when I found out someone I matched with on Tinder like was an actual murderer and I was like actually stressed and you were like, that's hot.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's actually not funny. And I actually can't go into details because I'm scared.
It's so fucking cool to be like into psychos these days. But then like when someone's actually psycho, everyone's like, oh, that's unsafe. And I'm like, no, that's still hot.
It's like, you're not, walk the walk.
Yeah, it's walk the walk. It's like, if you're going to say you like psychos, hook up with a fucking murderer, please.
Wait, you know what? Speaking of psychos, I want to come clean about something.
Okay.
We've spent the past months being like, what, who, why, and when is Post Malone?
Yeah, we don't understand what
and
Post Malone is.
And we don't want to know. So
we don't want to know.
But today, I looked him up.
You looked up Post Malone?
I was curious.
Wow. You could have called me in a moment of weakness.
Well, I knew I was going to see you.
I know, but you could have called me and been like, I'm thinking about looking up Post Malone right now. And I would have been like, Catherine, you are loved. You are beautiful. Like... I would have told you whatever you needed.
I didn't,
to hear.
But here's the thing. I didn't find out what I needed to know.
Okay, cool.
I'm like, at the, what's it called?
Because this is the thing.
When they're no like, in the crime drama, when they have the string, they're connecting.
Yeah,
like,
that's not called anything. You always have to describe it. Like, can we make a word for that thing? Oh my God, I'm so sick.
I think about that all the time.
I know, I'm constantly referencing the court boards and the threads. It's like, most of my life is explaining that thing. Sometimes I just say beautiful mind, but it's not as funny.
It's not beautiful mind, though. It's like...
It's not beautiful mind,
it's True Detective. Mashup beautiful mind.
Did you watch True Detective?
Season one.
Cool.
And it's like, I mean, like, I don't know. It's like, I was in a fugue state. Like, why did I do that?
Sometimes you don't even know
it was a different
time.
I was dating someone else. Like, I don't...
Okay, it's fine. It's fine. Wait, what was your whole point? Oh, right, so the internet doesn't even know what Post Malone is. Because here's the thing, we're all kind of beating ourselves up over not knowing what Post Malone is. But, like, if we just talk about it, we'll learn that actually no one knows who or what Post Malone is. And, like, then it's a shared experience. And then we're connected with one another. And that's what's beautiful about what you experienced this morning is to find out even the internet himself or herself.
Thank you.
Didn't know what Post Malone was.
It wasn't this morning.
Okay, when was it?
This afternoon.
Okay, but
I've always wanted to sort of like be in a mahogany room and sort of turn and go, this afternoon.
Okay. Do you know what my new dream is?
No.
To be fucked near antlers, like on the
wall.
Oh,
I like that. You
know? I think there's. I've just.
Wait, can I stop?
And can I stop after you?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I don't like?
What?
And I don't know where everyone stands on this.
Okay.
And this is what's happened to me recently.
Okay.
I don't like sex on the side.
I know.
Oh, wait, you know, really? I don't like laying on my side.
Okay, yeah.
And getting fucked. Do you guys like that? Am I weird?
Do you guys like sex on your side?
Like, well, raise your hand if you like sex on your side.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So wait, what is good about it? Because it's like...
You can go to sleep.
No.
Oh my God.
Get up here. You are in this, Mike.
She's like, yeah, sex on your side.
Am I right?
Am I right? What's the deal with
that's
sex on your side?
That's how comedy works.
Okay.
That was good.
I've never had sex on my side.
You never had sex on your side?
I've had extremely little
don't
sex.
Don't put me on my side. I'm like, on top, absolute, absolute bottom. Short, that's when you sleep, huh? Side, it's like... Training wheel. I need training wheels. I know.
Side is crazy.
Side is crazy.
What I've learned, I'm just not flexible enough at the end of the fucking day. Yeah. And guess what? Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
What's so beautiful about being 30 is that you realize it's like actually...
Don't... Just so I'm not 30. You were trying to drag me into your
but
to
anyone
storm.
But let's... I never do this, but did you guys think I was 30 from kind of my, like, face and even, like, my energy? You thought I was 30 from my face?
Okay. Good answer. There's only one answer.
That was, like, so weird. Okay, I don't care.
I'm not even close to 30.
I don't have experience. I don't have existential worry about getting older.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, wait. We didn't even talk about the night, but I don't care.
Okay, no, we can talk about it. We have time.
Is it even funny?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll find out.
We went to a party is our whole point. And,
Wait, what'd you say?
We went to a party is our whole point.
Oh, yeah. The whole point is we went to a party. And we didn't, it was so funny. We went, like, for fun.
Yeah.
And then when we got there, we're like, oh, no, oh, no. The whole night is going to be about us trying to fuck.
Yeah, that was, like, the whole night.
It
was,
you know when you're like, you think you're just going to an event, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, here, brother, here we go.
I know, totally. And which also, by the way, leads me to also, I have to mention, like, I recently found out Naomi and Andy met in an improv show. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many fucking improv shows I've left mm-hmm. without a fiancé. And I was just like, okay, this was a huge waste of everyone's time. But anyway, so we go and we're like, oh my God, it's like a dance situation. There's a DJ. It's like really prompt.
And we thought we looked so good. And then we get the photo booth.
It's so crazy when you think you look so good. And then you get the photo booth pictures back. And it's like, okay, no one fucking told me. Right. And then you feel like betrayed in this weird way. But so anyway, so like it's like a straight space kind of mostly, but also
no,
like,
it was the straightest space I've ever been to.
But then it was also like in the industry, so like you definitely know like being in the industry, like there's definitely gays afoot, and sometimes
on the tippy toes.
I know. I think I wish that like you know when you're a kid and everyone would say things like if you wear an earring in your left ear, it actually means you're gay.
Yeah.
Like that was scary when I was a kid, but now I wish it was true because it's sometimes hard to know when you're like for me it's so hard because I pass. You know what I mean?
Wait, on Saturday, this girl told me that my type is guys who seem gay, and your type is guys who seem straight.
And that's what's hard for us, is because often the guys I want to hook up with are straight, and the guys Catherine wants to hook up with are gay. So
sort of, can you even process that? mind equals blown AF meme.
Anyways.
So we're at this party. Anyways, we look amazing. We're sharing
like,
a Red Bull.
And I'm like, this actually might end up well because definitely most people are straight. But sometimes when most people are straight, actually, I'm like, maybe it'll work in my favor because if there are gays here, I'll be one of their only options. So that could be huge.
And we're into the same kind of guys.
We're into the same kind of guys.
No. You care about body. No. I only care about face.
Yeah, yeah. But don't like, you're like not allowed to say you care about body in 2018.
I don't. I don't care about it.
I don't care about face.
Okay.
Okay. We both care. We both care about souls. Yeah.
So,
a big closer. we haven't gotten to the whole point.
I did have like a long distance relationship during the party.
Okay. So Catherine,
I like, connected with someone.
So basically, like we ran into this guy within a leather jacket who like. The leather jacket
was mean.
It was just a trick. Like he wasn't hot, but he was like dressed hot. And yeah. Catherine and him kind of like got together and like they weren't like.
I think we had a 3-minute conversation.
But for a while I was like kind of like, okay, Catherine's like with someone. Like I'm single now. Like and I was trying to create my own life for myself at the party. And but then like Catherine and the guy got into a fight and I was like, oh my God, you and your girl are single again.
It was like hot, but it wasn't hot.
So then we were two single girls on the town again and then but then they briefly got back together.
I know, but then we broke up.
I know. They were on again, off again.
And spoiler alert, the night ends with
us both crying.
No.
Wait, so what? We also like to do this thing every once in a while in our friendship where we just kind of quickly check in.
Okay, but yeah, that'll be the closer because we have to go.
Okay, I know, we are
going. I can tell they're furious.
I know, you guys are mad. Okay, so we just like to check in. We like to check in and say, just are you mad at me? Because actually, anyone at any given time can be mad at you and it's terrifying to be alive.
Every morning I wake up and I think, I drink a liter of water and then I think.
She drinks so much water.
I go through
so
my
good.
Head, I think. I think of all my friends. I go through my. I think if any of them can be mad at me.
Yeah.
So are you mad at me?
I'm not mad at you. I think you look amazing. Really? We had so much fun last night.
Well, no, we didn't have fun. I thought you were mad at me on Friday.
Wait, what?
I thought you were mad at me Friday.
You thought I was mad at you on Friday. I wasn't mad at you on Friday, but I was unable to have fun in the context that you put me in. And that's no one's fault. It's
okay,
my
it was an intimate housewarming followed by sort of a great dance, but
they were all going dancing and I wasn't going to go dancing and one of the Australians kept saying like, Pat, the thing is, you're only on this earth once. And so like I ended up going up dancing and I couldn't have fun, whatever. Okay.
Okay.
I'm not mad at you.
You're not mad at me?
Are you mad at me?
Let me look at you. No.
Cool.
Okay, thank you guys so much.
Listen to your podcast.
Bye.
Oh my God, sex positive, sex negative, sex neutral. That's all that matters to me. I would definitely say I am sex negative.
I am sex neutral.
And together, it's electric.
I wonder why we don't have kids.
You guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, if you're into it, rate, review, subscribe, 5 stars. You know how we live.
On Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcast from. And if you live in Los Angeles, our next live show is February 2nd at the Virgil at 8 p.m. Great lineup. Garfunkel and Oates, Frangela, a lot of other great people. And you can get tickets at couplestherapypod.com if you just click on See Us Live.
You know it.
Also, Naomi, you're going to be back in New York doing stand-up in February.
Ooh, baby. In a month, okay? February 22nd, 7:30 p.m. at Union Hall in Brooklyn. You can catch me. I'm going to be doing a real long set, and I got that sweet, funny Joe Firestone opening up for me, so it's going to be a good time.
For social media, you can find the show on Twitter, at Naomi and Andy, and you can find Naomi at Blacktress and me at Andy Beckerman, and on Instagram, you can find the show at Couples Therapy Pod. If you go to couplestherapypod.com, you can get merch for the show. We have t-shirts and mugs and lots of other cool stuff. You can sign up for a newsletter. We don't send them out very often, but we'll let you know when we're coming to your town to do a live show, and maybe there'll be some other fun surprises in there, so sign up. And also, now we've got a call-in line.
Boom, 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 boom! You guys, if you've got relationship questions, if you want us to answer them, give us a call, all right?
We did those, we did a lot of the advice questions a couple episodes ago. It was really fun, and we thought, how can we kick this up a notch, bam, just like whatever that chef was? Emeril. Hey, so if you call 323-524-7839, again, that's 323-524-7839, that's 323-524-STU, or 323-524-RUDY. Naomi hated both of those, but I think they're great mnemonic devices. Ask your questions, we'll play them on air, and then answer them in the future.
Yep. So you know what? Reach out and touch a bitch!
All right, everyone. If you live in LA, we hope to see you at the next live show. If you don't live in LA, maybe we'll see you at a show in the future. Naomi, what a lovely time to spend with you.
You keep me young, Andy.
See you next time. Bye!
Young world, the world is yours. It is I, OCT, the producer of the Baller Alert Show podcast, featuring none other than myself
and the kid Ferrari Simmons
with your favorite Ethiopian Sue Solo.
The Baller Alert Show podcast is here for you, keeping you in the know with the latest of your favorite celebrities, current events, and providing free games to the listeners in need.
So join the talk of the town because it's going down.
It's the Baller Alert Show podcast, baby.
Don't you ever forget.
Only cover the latest in entertainment,
but we're bringing you the entertainment directly from the source.
That's right. We have celebrity guest hosts, exclusive interviews,
and it all goes down on the Baller Alert Show podcast. We are your number one source for the culture.
So like DJ Khaled says, don't ever play yourself. Join the conversation today.
Head on over to the Baller Alert Show and join me, Ferrari Simmons.
Join me, Sue Solo.
And it's all produced by me, OCT, on the Baller Alert Show podcast.
Available on iHeartRadio app,
on Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Tom Colicchio. I'm a chef, a restaurateur, food advocate, and the host of the new podcast called Citizen Chef on iHeartRadio. People might turn on the news and see the stories about the pandemic, immigration policy, or healthcare. I see stories about food. On this podcast, we'll tour the current political climate, looking for inroads to food wherever we can find them. from the supply chain.
And we hear that Tyson might be closing another plant Monday in Tennessee for
to labor.
Tomates en México, en donde todavía hay explotación.
Here's an executive order on immigration. We want Americans to have the jobs. We want Americans to have the health care. We want to take care of our citizens first.
And disaster relief.
Our systems cannot handle true disaster, this pandemic. That is the reality.
These are the stories of our food. Episode 1 of Citizen Chef is available now. Subscribe and listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.